like I have a good stronghold over my schedule, my balance. I'm really just setting my boundaries straight. I'm trying to play my baseline, and it's really hard to apply because the temptation is constantly there. Like, okay, is a higher paying gig more worth more than my day off, knowing that I'm gonna have like 5 gigs the next couple days? Something I have to think about. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I tell myself, like, you know, if you operate in an abundance mentality and you took your day off, you'll be stronger than you think you are.
Without any hesitation, welcome Chef Dan Castro to the Austin All Day Pod.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate that.
Yeah, like I feel like this has been a long time coming, but, you know, for good reason. We've known each other for a minute, but I watch you doing things, and finally we're doing this, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt very shy in asking because I didn't want to invite myself, in a sense.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have said that. Now I feel like...
No.
No. I get what you mean, and that's what I mean. Like, we've known each other for so long that I almost didn't know when to ask, because, of course, I wanted to do a podcast with you. I was like, well, when's the right time? Like, I don't know. And then, you know, now we're doing it. But, you know, like we were just talking about kind of procrastinating, right?
Yeah.
And like, here's an example of like, just do it, right? What are we waiting for? So, yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on here. I know you are, you're a busy man. You're doing a lot of stuff, a lot of cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part. Mostly right now, I do stuff for myself, Eversol Culinary. And then I do a lot of culinary contracting, primarily for Gather and Forge. And eventually, like, for my friend Chef Rene at the Cultured Chefs. And I do some work for Michael Ward's as well over at the Austin Artisan periodically. And then I would get, like, offshoot jobs from other people, like Josh Wiseman.
Josh Wiseman is with Honest Mary now?
No. Josh Wiseman is just, like, a YouTube guy, 8 million subscribers.
Okay. Of course. That guy. Props to Josh Wiseman. He's the best. He's so cool. I saw him the other day with you, and I was like, yeah. It's like meeting a star in a way. I mean, for someone who watches somebody with a great audience like that. I was thinking of the Contigo, Chef Andrew.
Oh, got it.
But you're like a hired gun. And you rattled off a bunch of spots. And just so people understand, because I want to talk, obviously, about Eversol, but like you mentioned, Gather and Forge, and we've had Ryan... and Tony on here. That's like a private chef service. You mentioned Michael Ward's, or private chef. Is that what you'd call?
Yeah, private personal chef. I feel like they're one in the same breath, but I think people spend more time in saying a personal chef is like, hey, we're your personal chef today. We create these like curated experiences for you with personal menus and such. But with a private chef, you're working solely for one family or like a group of people. So, yeah, I think that's the best way to differentiate it.
And now that we're rehashing this, I remember they had a whole they went on a whole tangent about like the differentiation between the two. But we also had Michael Ward's on with Austin Artisan. And, you know, I did not realize that you were, you know, like a hired gun, like all over the place, had your hands in a bunch of different things.
Yeah, pretty much. I think being a hired gun is so much fun. I get to do what I need to do, of course. The only thing that I can do is pass out my information and steal clients. Otherwise, I won't have a job.
Right.
So the fun part about being a hired gun for me is that I get to create my own schedule. Ryan knows this. I've dedicated a lot of my weekends for him, and primarily because he really gave me a good position to be in. He's like, okay, if you keep your weekends open, I'll always have something for you. I'm like, okay, you seem like you're a man of your word. We've had very like in-depth conversations.
Right.
And I've had like literally zero doubt with him.
And that's Chef Ryan Francis, right?
That's Chef Ryan Francis, correct.
And yeah, this world really interests me too, and a lot because of like you mentioned, like your schedule, right? You can kind of, you know, you can work when you want to, when you need to. And I think it's a lot different than your traditional setup in a restaurant setting.
I, I think it's ironic because the danger of it is there. The danger of the work-life balance isn't necessarily what you would equate it to be. What I mean by that is I'm like, oh my God, I can set up my whole schedule, but obviously there are some dry months where I would be like seeking out work all the time. I would take jobs that are significantly below what my perception of value is and do that.
Are those predictable? Do we know? Because we know like in the restaurant world, like the summer slump is going to happen. In this world, is there like when you know people are like maybe the summer, people are traveling?
Yeah, for the most part, people do travel, things of that nature. So I'm like, okay. At the same time, like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. But you also have to be very... you have to have discipline, right?
Yeah, so I think that's the thing that I'm actually trying to hone in on is that my work schedule. Right now, we're heading into the busy season, and I'm kind of putting some boundaries onto myself. Like, for example, Mondays and Tuesdays, I meal prep. Fridays, Saturdays, I go cook. And then Sundays, unless someone assigns something to me, like Ryan or Michael do, I just take it off because I don't want to cook on a Sunday. There are so many Sundays that I've like played tennis and then...
You've been playing tennis your whole life?
Yeah, since I've been like 16, 17 up to now. So
tennis is a tough one. It takes a lot of endurance.
Yeah, my knees hurt right now. Actually, I played back-to-back in like heat yesterday and then eventually my knees were just like... No, yeah. Thanks.
Oh my God, I cannot even imagine playing tennis in this heat.
Yeah, but I love it, man. Like, some people are like, how can you play in this heat? I'm like, I don't know. I do it all the time. I grew up in the Philippines.
Yeah.
I'm used to the heat.
So when you meal prep on Monday and Tuesday, so that's something that you offer through Eversoul Culinary, correct?
Yeah. I recently restarted that program. I just had a bad partnership in the past. And at the same time, I was just trying to learn the event space. So I dedicated a lot of the time into like learning the fundamentals of that, how to talk to clients, how to, you know, cook, how to travel, just the insider how-tos on that wide, broad space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something, I guess, interesting. You don't really think about like how to talk to clients and like, because you can't offer them everything, right? So you have to have boundaries there. But everybody's different, right? Or do you have like a package of, hey, you can choose from this or choose from that, or is it very personalized?
Yeah, so I go two routes about it. The first route that I go is not a personalized menu, but I go through a 6-week menu rotation. So I just put out my menus today and I revamped my website. But the way that it works is that I give you a menu with 5 items on it. So beef, pork, chicken, turkey, and tilapia, right? Mm-hmm. So you order a 5-pack, a 10-pack, or a 15-pack, which means that it's either like 5 meals, 10 meals, or 15 meals. And if you order a 5-pack, you get one of each. Like a 10-pack, you get 2 of each, and then a 15-pack, you get 3.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's all like dinners or entrees or I mean, I guess you can consume them whenever. Yeah. But no like breakfast or like it's not like every meal of the day kind of thing.
No. The reason being is that I've just based off data and based off experience, people eat 2 to 3 times a day. So sometimes they would take a meal from the 5-pack and they feel like it's big enough to split between 2 days. Some people have very different eating habits. Someone can eat like 2 meals in 1 day. Someone can eat like half a meal in a day.
Right, right. No, that's true. And the like, so when a client comes to you for the meals, right? Because when I think meal prep, my brain goes to like, because you're trying to get healthy, but I guess there's just busy people, you know, like, you know, you don't have time for it. So what are they coming for? Are they coming to like get in shape or are they just coming for food?
It's various reasons. The thing that I do with that meal prep delivery program is that I do it gluten-free, grain-free, sugar-free.
Oh, yeah.
So it might be for various reasons. Right now, a lot of my clientele are slightly older people. And I used to cook for CrossFit people. So that's kind of like how I developed that program. So it's probably to have like restaurant quality food that, you know, it's already cooked for them. They don't have that anxiety of like, hey, I had to cook, clean, plan anything. There's this guy that does it for me that follows within like my dietary guidelines, which is great because if I pay someone to not worry about it, you know, it just gets done for me because they've literally thought about the process.
Right. No, that's awesome. So that's on Monday and Tuesday. And do you have plenty of people there? Are you trying to grow that or?
I'm trying to grow it. Right now, my cap is around 10 people. Realistically, at max, if everybody ordered a 15-meal plan, that would be 150 meals to cook in one day. And to do that as one person is insane.
Right, right.
So that's probably my cap on that. But I really haven't reached that mountain yet. So I'm also slowly growing it, whether it's like, hey, if I have to hire someone, or for example, I had 4 clients in one day and I had to hire Runner City to like do my deliveries for me. So
I forgot to warn you there would be random photos.
No, you're fine. I love random photos. But yeah, so I hired Runner City because they really...
Oh, that's like a delivery.
Yeah. It got built during the pandemic when people were not having jobs and stuff like that. So now there's a heavy reliance on gig work. And that's their main source of income. So everybody's a hired gun in this sense.
Sure.
So I hired one from Runner City and they were super reliable. They were super nice. I kept her number just in case, you know, like I blew up and I have faith that it will.
Yeah. So. Totally. Mm-hmm. So then Eversoul Culinary. So what else do you offer through that? And
Eversoul Culinary offers dinner parties as well. I've simplified it to the point where I just say, hey, you either can do 2 courses, 3 courses, or 4 courses for a certain fixed price. If not, that's why personalized calls are for. The other thing that I offer are pop-ups. So the next one that I have coming up is in Dripping Springs at Rose Haven Bakery and Venue. We are doing a kamayan. So a kamayan is a style of dining in Philippines where you grab all your food, you put in banana leaves, and you eat with your hands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some people actually get the ick. They're like, I don't want to eat with my hands. Is it okay if we use like forks and spoons? I'm like, yeah, cool. But you know, we'd like for you to try it like once at least, like
right. That's like sushi, because you do sushi, but I've heard this, I don't know if it's true, I'm pretty sure it is, but like we're always eating sushi with chopsticks, but like in Japan, yeah, it's more just finger food.
I think a lot of things got westernized a bit where we're just like now stuck on something, and because you know it's just, if people feel like that's a sanitary way to do it, I'm totally all for it, as long as you get to enjoy the product, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that sounds cool. And with the banana leaves, what do you, like, bury it, this stuff, and cook it? Is it like...
No. So, for example, this table, I would put out... Oh, I say this because I have to. I would put, like, a sheet tray over it and put banana leaves on it, because what I did once in an event is that I grabbed some banana leaves, I wiped them off, and then I put them on a wood table. When I cleaned them off, they had, like, stains.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh, God. I literally got anxiety. So then,
live and learn, right?
Yeah, 100%. So then I put sheet trays and then banana leaves and then all the food in there. Like, oh, my God, it looks so nice. So,
I bet, though.
Yeah. It's like a buffet on steroids.
So, and you say pop-up, do you, like, collaborate with people?
I used to want to, but I think what happens with collaboration nowadays is that it's like herding cats. Like, you know, it took for us, like, a long time to do this.
Sure.
And it's also just, like, weird asking people, like, if I want to do this on a certain day, but they weren't available, I'm like, oh, God, what am I waiting for, right? I don't want to wait. Like, I'd rather just do it on my own. But then if people want to collaborate in the future, yeah, ask me. Let's find a day in the calendar, and then let's run it.
Yeah, no, that's funny. Herding cats, that's totally true, though. No, I guess if you want to get it done, just get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get it done. Michael always says to, like, make it make it bad first to make it better, right?
Michael Ward's?
Yeah.
Make it bad first and make it better, or what?
Yeah, make it bad first and make it better. If you can do it great the first time, then great. Then make it better after doing it great.
He's also a gentleman who knows what he's doing. He called with, I won't reveal what the ideas were, but he's got some things rolling around in his head that I think he might be working on.
Yeah, he's like... Him, yeah, he's a very smart guy. I consider him actually as like one of my mentors too, because he's literally set some time to talk with me like personally. We've gone out to lunches. He shared me some insights on things. He's asked me questions on the trajectory of my career.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, so you're just happy with this. You're happy with that. I see where you're going. This is what you can do with it. Oh, I'm like, okay, cool. Then he shares his insights. I'm like, oh, wow. It's like someone stating the obvious for you, but sometimes someone just needs to tell you that 1 + 1 = 2, and you don't really need to overcomplicate it.
Sure. No. Yeah, I believe that's true too, because we as people, I mean, I can overcomplicate everything. And then when you hear it back from somebody who's like, so you just need to do this and that? And you're like, oh, yeah, I guess it's just this and that. Whoops.
Yeah, totally. Right.
So you, so people, like, they go into the culinary world. It's a struggle to find, you know, build your way up the food chain in the kitchen. And, like, ultimately, I mean, everybody's got to make their money. They got to pay their bills. And you want to become an executive chef or whatnot. How is this all working out? Because I think this is very enticing to somebody who gets off a line after, like, 9 hours. They're tired as all hell. And they start thinking, well, I would want to work for myself. I want to maybe do what Chef Dan is doing, or, you know, what Michael Ward's is doing.
It's such a catch 22, because cooking is literally the easiest part of that, of this whole thing.
Oh, like, it's a hustle, right?
Yeah, it's a hustle. Like, literally, I sat in front of a computer for 6 hours doing God knows what. And I genuinely looked forward to prepping for my event tomorrow.
Right.
Like, literally, because it's like, oh, it's my zen. But it takes a catch 22, because one, you need to learn how to cook. And cooking isn't necessarily just about the food. It means organization.
Oh, sure.
Like, if you cook on a station and it looks like, it looks bad, someone walked by and you're like, hey, your station's dirty. A station is a reflection of your mind.
Yes.
So I've definitely been a dirty cook before. I'm not one to sit here and say that I wasn't the cleanest, or I was the cleanest cook. I wasn't. I'm going to admit that right now.
Well, what was it that, like, do you remember a point where you were like, I'm going to consciously start making sure that I keep things more tidy and organized?
Yeah. It started with working the sushi line. It started working at the sushi line at Uchiko.
Yeah, it did, right? Because it's like unacceptable as well, right?
Yeah, 100%. If you're working a sushi line, like, literally someone's in front of you. They could see every action that you do. They see every action that you make. They hear everything that you say, yeah. Even though it's in like a 450 person room. Like, they can kind of feel the energy in your body, in a sense. So for me, it's easier to make the transition to like being a personal chef, or from being a line cook to like a personal chef, because literally that's just what it is. It's almost like a sushi bar, but with cooked food.
So, and then, like, to even go further into that, because it is organization, because when you're bringing food to another home, there's so many, you know, factors at play, like their equipment, and then, like, you know, like what needs to be cooked and when. Like, you're not in your normal, hey, this is coming off the line, this is how this goes, and that's how it goes out. That's a lot simpler, I would think, than like when you have to bring your whole setup to someone's home.
Oh gosh, yeah. One of the very first gigs I did it with my friend Damon, and luckily it was a sushi party. So we go to the house, and I didn't have the foresight to like ask them on, hey, send us a pictures of your kitchen inventory. So they only had like plastic nut, or they only have like plastic cutting boards and paper plates. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad this is a sushi party. We rolled out, like, no pun intended. But we got it done. So eventually, like, those are the things that I learned while I was focusing on the event space.
Right. So. And you say sushi so casually, because I think a lot of people would be scared of, like, that's, I feel like, the next level of cooking, right? It takes a lot of technique, right, to do that correctly.
It takes a lot of technique because when you're doing sushi, it means that you have nothing to hide behind. You can cook rice, you season it well. There are so many things that can go wrong. Your rice can go raw, your rice can go mushy, your rice can go under-seasoned. I'm pretty sure, like, in my, like, 2.5 years of doing rice at Uchiko, I probably had, like, a couple batches of undercooked rice, or I probably had, like, a batch or two of undercooked rice. I probably had, like, a batch or two of, like, I don't know, overcooked rice. And then there are, like, a couple times that I would just know that it's perfect. I'm like, okay.
Right.
So it's just experience.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But yeah, I feel like what I've learned over at Uchiko and Hai Hospitality is that it's the simplest of ingredients made magnificent. You add so little to it that it actually brings out the essence of whatever you're working with.
Yeah, when you bring in the best, you really mm-hmm. don't have to manipulate it more. You just have to show it to people.
Yeah, 100%. And that philosophy just applies to, like, how I cook now, especially with the meal prep thing. I'm stripping myself of so many things. I'm stripping myself of gluten, grain, sugar, dairy. After that, what do I have to work with? So I have to find the best ingredients, spices, herbs, mix, whichever it is, to, like, make 6 weeks worth of menus that rotates.
Right. Which is no small feat. And so are you also, like, just eating your meal preps? Is that how you eat at home?
Ironically, no, but I'm starting to, and I feel significantly better. I just think, too, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't have time to, like, sit down at a restaurant and wait for someone to cook my food as much as I want to.
Yeah, there's no time for it. I mean, I guess you would need to do that on occasion as, like, a study, right? Like, you just need to be out there. I mean, I'm guilty of that, too. I never go out. I mean, I know, Austin, like, you've been attracted here by there's lighter traffic. I mean, like, I think I've heard you say that. I was reading something, but I also, I think the traffic is insane. So as soon as I get home, there's, like, no way you're going to find me going downtown to eat. I'm like, no, thank you. I mean, I'll make time for it with somebody on occasion, but it gets pretty gnarly, so.
It depends, too, because there was a period of time in the last year where I was just balling, doing event after event after event. I'm just like, I got money. I'm not exactly a materialistic guy, and I spend my money and experiences, and this was before I met my girlfriend, so I'm just like, all right, I'll go eat at Uchi. I'll wait for, like, an hour, sit there, be a sad boy, have, like, a sad boy sushi meal, right? So I would do that almost, like, every day, to the point where I'm like, I'm doing my bank statements, and I'm like, oh, shit.
So, but it's so good, right?
It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth the experience. I mean, I went there for a birthday once, and I dropped a lot of money.
Yeah,
and I didn't even realize how much money I was spending until the bill came, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too. People drop a lot of money because they are being made felt at home. And
that's true.
And that's the reason why people hire personal chefs, is that they really want, they literally are at home, and they want that extra, like, to, like, make them feel that way. So every gig that I do nowadays is just like, okay, do you feel good about this conversation? How do you feel about the menu? How do you feel about X, Y, and Z? Because if they said something that was, like, a pain point or didn't feel good to them, I'm like, okay, how can I accommodate that for you within reason?
That's good. And, like looking for pain points and things like that is... You're right. There's the cooking is the zen, because all that stuff is not easy, right, to tap into, like doing that, communicating successfully. I mean, you're more or less a salesman in some respects, right? Trying to put yourself out there to get clients to come to you. Why come to you? You know what I mean? They could go to Gather and Forge or wherever, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I've learned over, like, the last 2 years. And I'm super thankful for, like, those opportunities and that kind of guidance, because without it, I'm not the personal chef that I am today. And, you know, it's definitely like made me a better person. And that's why I used all those like accumulated experiences. I'm like, okay, when I restarted my meal prep company, all those things started to come into consideration. It's almost like accumulation of all my life's work for like the last 2.5 years.
Good. Well, that's good. And so you're in a sweet spot. You feel good.
Yeah. I feel like I really have a good stronghold on it. I feel like I have a good stronghold over my schedule.
Have you heard the expression, it tastes like chicken? I want to tell you about the highest rated chicken farm in the South. Greener Pastures Chicken raises organic, pasture-raised birds in Elgin that the top chefs in Central Texas have been putting on their customers' plates like it's nobody's business. They're USDA certified organic, non-GMO project verified, real organic project certified, certified humane, and go Texan. They're in the final stages of becoming the first poultry farm nationwide to obtain regenerative organic certified status. You heard that right. They're humane, they're sustainable farmers, and they are the chicken of choice for the top chefs in Central Texas. For those of you who love to cook at home, you can pick up locally Greener Pastures Chicken at People's RX and Dias Market, or you can have it shipped to your home courtesy of farmhouse delivery. It doesn't just taste like chicken.
A good stronghold over my schedule, my balance. I'm really just setting my boundaries straight. I'm trying to play my baseline, and it's really hard to apply because the temptation is constantly there. Like, okay, is a higher paying gig worth more than my day off, knowing that I'm gonna have like 5 gigs the next couple days? Something I have to think about, but. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I tell myself, like, you know, if you operate in an abundance mentality and you took your day off, you'll be stronger than you think you are.
So. I like that. I do like that. I mean, that's true, because it's same thing as like exercise, right? Or, you know, physical activity. If you go so hard, right, like, then you're going to be burnt out the following day. Where if you go light or maybe rest, you'll be good for the whole week. You know what I mean? There's a lot of crossover there, and you don't want to get burnt out mentally either.
Oh, totally. I think that's why I got drawn into cooking, was because I was playing a lot of tennis in high school, and I was watching Top Chef. It was like their series premiere. I was just like, oh my God, this looks so good. So I was watching Top Chef, Iron Chef, all those things. And at the time, I was like playing varsity doubles tennis in California. So I'm like, okay, this makes a lot of sense, because kitchens have a lot of camaraderie, teamwork, and activity.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick up on that watching Top Chef, or did you figure that out later?
No, I was figuring it out as I go. I'm like, okay, if I went in a kitchen, yeah, I feel like it's the same thing, because I'm one of the many who read like Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain before I went to the CIA. I'm like, oh my God, like, is this something I'm going to have to encounter in my life? Sure shit, yeah.
Right. So you said, okay, so California, I'm going to backtrack a little bit, because you're from the Philippines originally.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point did mom and dad cook a lot?
No. So my mom and dad didn't cook a lot. My dad was an engineer. My mom worked for like a semiconductors company out like an hour or two away. She was out during the day. She wouldn't come back until late.
Okay.
So when she tried to make my lunches, they were pretty bad. Sorry, mom. to the point where, you know, they're like, how come you're not eating your lunch? I was just like eating rice and soup in the cafeteria. And they're like, how come you're not eating your egg salad sandwich? I didn't have the heart to tell them it was awful.
Right, right. So was there any influence at a young age that you can recall for like food, like any like pivotal moments where you're like, this is awesome?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Like, one, I learned how to cook like spam and eggs and chicken adobo, which is like a national Filipino dish. The second one is being at my grandparents' house on my dad's side. We would always go there so that they could babysit me. And yeah, we always had a Lazy Susan, and they just cook like a ton of food, and we'll be like, scoop it on.
Okay. So our the grandparents.
Yeah, it's always the grandparents, right?
So totally, totally. No, mm-hmm. that's where that happens. And then the whole family come to the States and straight to California?
No, my my mom reconnected with her best friend and she went to Missouri and then she went to California. And then she's like, hey, do you want to go over to California? Like, to make that choice as like a 12-year-old.
Oh, you were 12.
It's pretty gnarly. I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'd go. I mean, I didn't know what my future was in the Philippines. I just didn't know what my future was in general. So I'm like, yeah, going to the States, pretty cool.
You left all your friends and... Yeah, that's a huge move, right?
Yeah, that's a huge move, and I didn't even know the emotional toll that it would take.
Oh yeah,
but I think thankfully, my brother cousin, I guess the way I would call him, my brother in general, he is my aunt's son. He helped me assimilate the culture. So assimilating to the culture for me wasn't as hard, but at the same time, like having a first generation like Filipino parent guiding that thing is still like a little rocky and wavy at the same time.
So your mom was here with you, obviously.
Yes.
And it was just you and her. But so what? Dad stayed in the Philippines?
Dad stayed in the Philippines for a while. And then they grew apart. My dad went to Canada or something. And then they got back together, I think like 5 years ago. So they're just now in California, like chilling out.
So, like, yeah, the like that, because that's crazy, right? The culture shift, and like you say, it may not, but like you felt shell shocked for a moment, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%. There are a lot of shell shocking things in, like, when I was 12, people would make fun of me because I'm good at math. People would make fun of me because I basically had like an Action Bronson outfit, like, you know, where he would wear like 3XLs. Everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing.
Right.
It also didn't help me that my mom was dressing me. So I'm like, I don't know any better.
Right, right. Well, that's it. You know, that's the way of the Western world. Kids are little assholes. And that's unfortunate. But you know what I mean? Like, I hope. Like, that's tough to hear, right? Because, like, yeah. I mean, like, it's like, did you get homesick? Did you miss being in the Philippines, or because it's like, right, this big open world too. There's like a lot to explore, even though you got people being assholes.
Oh God. I think just because I feel like I was already overstimulated with like culture shocks from all over the place that I didn't even have time to like think about being homesick.
That's kind of what like I would think that because it's like a whole new world, right? Everything, every day.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just like constant changes. It's like if there's always someone or something screaming at you from the back or like something tapping you in the shoulder, it's like you tend to forget a lot of other things.
So, okay. So is the Philippines a lot more chill than like it is in like California, so to speak? Or is there some crossover with like the pace of the things here?
Ooh, that's a very hard question to answer because I don't remember a lot from my childhood. Yeah. Allegedly it is, but I'm pretty sure like being a grown up in the Philippines is significantly harder than it is here because it's just so densely packed. Okay. If you think about the traffic, in the Philippines, it's like the traffic in 35, but like 3 times worse. Like it's bumper to bumper. There's no assigned lanes. There are police who like guide it, quote unquote.
All right. So I've heard all I need to hear. I will never move there.
Wild, wild east. Oh no. I think you should because apparently, like we went to Adobo Throwdown in San Antonio, and there was somebody who was like selling residences there, and it's like $750 a month.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
If you like did it, or if you bought a property there in the east in the vacation spot, and then that's like the thing that you have to pay and like maintenance fees and such. So exchange rate is just crazy.
Right, right. So well, okay. So interesting. So you're that's actually that's pretty cool that you're like in high school and you've had this you know, this transition and people are being not so great in some ways. I'm sure you found some people to connect with, hopefully. But then the Top Chef was really like where you're connecting with.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of, it's my bucket list thing, 100%. Oh, nice.
More procrastinating.
I know, right? No more procrastinating, but like I know Arturo's trying to do it and like I see him every day like hustling to get it. I'm like, yeah, dude, you should go for it. But yeah, I've done like a couple interviews and such, and I guess like people want these like really outward personalities. And
Well, yeah, I would think so, right? Because it's televised, right?
100%. And the more that I do of these auditions, like I just can't seem to get it out of me.
Turn you off? Like the kind of like, hey, like bring it out.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be like the rah-rah guy. Like, I've never been like the rah-rah guy. Like, if I'm competing in the field, like, I'm not going to be like, ah.
Right.
Like, yeah.
No, it's like, I didn't know that it doesn't surprise me at all that they would like be seeking out like, you know, a very extroverted, you know, kind of flamboyant personality where they're just like, you know, loud. If you got like a cowboy from Texas, like, let's go. Let's hear the yeehaw. You know,
it's exactly. Like, I'm more of a silent killer, and that's why, like, I enjoy the hired gun, like, narrative. Mm-hmm. Because as a hired gun, all I really have to do is, like, let my work speak for itself, work in silence, crush it, hang out with my girlfriend, and then just do it again, right?
Right, right, right.
So that's the narrative I enjoy.
No, and that's cool. Oh, I mean, it would be cool to get on one of those shows. And oh, 100%. And, like, I could see a show, a Top Chef, where you're on there, regardless if you're, like, jumping around screaming. Yeah. I mean, I could imagine watching that. Like,
yeah, hopefully it happens.
Arturo is also a little, like, he's pretty... like introvert. He's not loud and obnoxious, you know, like,
no, not at all, far from it. But yeah, I think he's pushing for it significantly harder than I am, which like I super admire, because he's like, oh yeah, I saw the deadline for this application, and they need to like send you or they need like references and all these things. I'm like, dang dude, I'm only worried about like my gig 2 days from now, and I'm like severely underprepped for it. But
well, he's got a fire in his belly right now. He's been telling me about a bunch of cool stuff he's working on too, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I really love the fact that, you know, even though we share the same circles, that we're always working on something new, we're working something for ourselves. I think there's a lot of room for us to flourish. And I think, too, the stability of always pursuing something is like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, okay, so you came from California to Austin.
Far from it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I kind of bounced around the country. So California, then I went to the CIA in Hyde Park, New York, on the way up a scholarship.
All right.
I got that scholarship through the careers through culinary arts program, aka CCAP, just in case they're like, oh, you didn't shout us out. But yeah, so I did that. And then I needed to keep like a 3.0 to keep my scholarship. I was on the verge of losing it. Then I got it back after my internship. And then I just kind of needed to set my head straight.
Right.
So I stayed there for my associates, graduated, then came back for my bachelor's. I did an internship in Vero Beach, Florida, somewhere in between, because I wanted to visit Universal Studios in Disney World. Which was a very shallow reason. I was like 18, 19 at the time.
Well, he's got to do it at some point.
Yeah. Then I graduated CIA. I went to the Colorado Springs, or I went to the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I did their apprenticeship for 3 years. So basically, I was back in school. Like, I went to school like back to back.
So what is that place called?
The Broadmoor.
Okay.
Yeah. The Broadmoor is a 5-star, 5-diamond resort for like 80 something years now.
So I'm sure you learned a lot there.
Yeah, learned a lot. From bakery, butchery, banquet cooking, restaurant cooking. I broke my finger in a bakery, so I did like 2 months in HR. I absolutely did not like it.
Oh, I'm sure. No, that's, yeah, being put out of commission when, you know, it's like if a runner, you know, breaks his leg, that's not fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think I did hit an anxiety point when I was in HR. I'm just like, man, like, because I needed 10,000 hours to graduate the program.
Right.
Right. So that's around like 3 years. So at some point, it was like I was in year 2.25. And I was just like, man, am I going to meet my 10,000 hours in September? I don't know. Like, the thought started creeping because it's like my plan was to leave there in September-ish, because just before busy season. And yeah, I guess I pulled it off somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Resilience.
Nice. The So during that time, I understand you're like, you know, you're trying to get these hours. So that's at the front of your mind. But you're cooking. So obviously there's that passion that exists in you. Did you, were your thoughts ever, oh, I want to, you know, be a personal, you know, chef with Eversoul Culinary when I'm older? Or were you thinking I want to own a restaurant? Were you just thinking I'm just going to do this until I'm the best I can be? Or what were you thinking at those times?
It's pretty ironic because back then I thought personal chefs were like chefs that couldn't hack it in a real kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah.
That's funny.
It's
quite the opposite.
I know. I'm a man of like, I will admit something when I'm wrong, like 100%. And it's like the opposite of that. But because I had such a competitive, or I have that competitive drive, like growing up, I was so hell-bent in like, hey, I want to be like, lead line cook, and then I want to become a sous chef, and right. I become like an executive chef. But the other thing too that happened is that I never even got like a sous chef position, which I think is a blessing in disguise a little bit. Just hearing like, you know, stories behind salary. And when I got sold like being a sushi chef, when they were recruiting me, they're like, oh yeah, I think you stand better learning like a new skill set in doing sushi and getting more money compared to being like a sous chef. I'm like, oh, cool. Done. Let me invest in myself here, because they were willing to invest the time in me anyway.
Was this, where was that at?
Huh? Uchi.
That was at Uchi. So you came, did you meet your girlfriend here?
Yeah, I met her a year ago.
Okay.
Our anniversary is actually coming up next week, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, what, so are you going to cook for her?
Oh,
no. Are you going to go out? You're going to splurge?
We're going to splurge. I'm letting her pick the places because I always pick the place, and, you know, I just want to see where her mind is. So okay. I like surprises too.
Well, here, we have a segment. This is like an appropriate time to bring it up because
let's do it.
Yeah, and it might influence maybe where she decides to go if she listens to this.
Oh,
because
God.
It's where are you eating? And as a chef, people every night, they ask, what are we going to have for dinner? Where are we going to go? I don't know, wherever you want to go. But like, people want to know where our culinary industry folks eat here in Austin, Texas. Where are your hidden gems?
Hidden gems, okay.
Well, they don't have to be hidden. They can be clear. Like, we've talked about Uchi, obviously.
Oh, no, that's fine. I can go off radar a little bit. Let's see. So Kapatid is a Filipino restaurant in Far West Boulevard. It's a little bit more up north. The restaurant reminds me a lot of home.
Nice.
It's very traditional Filipino cooking. Like, if I went there, like, I would feel pretty safe in that choice. Like, I've taken some people there for lunch as like a lunch spot. So they're like, oh yeah, I've never had this before. Like, yeah, pick whatever you want to do. I always pay for the tab because it's like, I want to make them feel at home. And to some degree, like, I'm also increasing my network and such. So that's kind of like one of my favorite spots.
Sure.
The second one is Taco Siete Estrellas. Some of my friends actually introduced me to that. I think it was like a night after karaoke. It's always like after someone's last day, we would get like stupid drunk, go to karaoke, and then we would go to Taco Siete Estrellas. They're open until like 4 in the morning. They open like...
Huh? Where is that?
Oh, they moved. It's like when you get past Runberg.
Okay.
You get past Runberg, and then there's just like this whole stall of like taquerias that are open from 7 at night to like 4 in the morning. It's like they're working third shift.
Oh my God.
And they're all great. They're like, yeah, they give you like the charred onion. They give you like a really like fat taco.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh. Yeah, that's another hidden spot. The other one that I have is Saffron. Saffron is an Indian restaurant next to Kapatid. The reason why I really like Saffron was because I was looking for a goat curry. My friend really loved goat curries, and I was just like, yeah, you know what? In honor of him, I just want to do it for myself. So I looked it up, went to Saffron, had a goat curry, and I was pretty happy with it.
Legit.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Paperboy's a really good brunch spot, too.
Paperboy's, and they used to be just a little trailer, and now they've got that spot on the east side, and it's a cool, it is very good.
Yeah, it's just like, it became one of my favorite brunch spots so fast. I'm just like, yeah, if I ever wake up in the morning and I felt like going to brunch, Paperboy would be like, it.
Yeah. Have you been over, like, who has a good brunches culinary dropout? I know it's all the way up at the Domain.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm not a brunch person because I just don't care to, like, eat breakfast.
You're not a breakfast guy.
No, I'm not,
I'm not a breakfast guy either.
I'm not a breakfast guy because it's like, normally I just need, I'm either going to work out in the morning or I'm just going to play video games in the morning. Like, lunch is my breakfast, if you will, because I don't know. I have a lot more, like, savory options.
Yeah. Well, like, I've never understood donuts. Because I'm like, who would throw a bomb in their gut first thing in the morning? Because, like, it's so sweet, and you just want to collapse after it. And I've never understood. And breakfast, generally speaking, I'm like, you eat, you know, if you eat after lunch, it's like, all right, everybody's kind of slowing down. We need to take a Well, that's how, why would we start our morning that way?
Yeah.
You know, fill up and then, oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. That's why people, I think, a lot are going to more, like, the whole lighter breakfast trends.
Yeah, lighter breakfast, or what's the intermittent fasting is mm-hmm. one of them, yeah. Which, when people talked about intermittent, you know, that, oh, intermittent, I was like, I do that, I guess. I didn't know I was doing a trendy thing because I just don't eat in the morning.
I thought, like, you did donate plasma. But no, there was this period of time where I was like 135 pounds and like 6% body fat or something insane because my friends that made me.
Yeah.
They made me do like a weight loss challenge because we had a cookie competition. A cookie competition. And we're just like, oh, okay. I guess everyone's overweight at this point. Let's just do like a weight loss challenge. So apparently, like, I did it right. Like, I felt really ripped. Like, it's like, skinny as all hell.
What are you normally at?
Me? Oh, God. Like, my happy spot is around, like, 160, 165, but I'm significantly over that right now, so I'm not...
Well, you look fine, but 135 is... Yeah, that's pretty light.
Yeah, that's pretty light, and I was just like, oh, man. Like, I feel quick, but I don't feel strong. It's weird.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean, though. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no... You're so... You know, there's nothing to you.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about that, if I'm going back to intermittent fasting, it's like I did all kinds of fasts. I did like a 36-hour fast. I did like a 12-hour. And then I was working out fasted. So I'm just like, it was the worst time of my life. But I was also in the best shape of my life. So it's almost like a catch-22. Like,
yeah.
I reached that mountain personally. Like, do I want to climb that mountain again? I'm like, I don't know. There's so many new restaurants popping up in Austin. Right. I don't.
It's very difficult. Well, like, so fasting is interesting because I just randomly brought that up. But, like, so you have fasted for 36 hours. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done anything longer than that ever?
No, because I had to work.
Right.
So
you get started fast when you're a chef and you have to try things because you'll break your fast immediately.
It also doesn't help that we're doing it for like a significant amount of money.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that there's so many benefits to fasting that, like, you know, and I have fasted. And it's just funny that I randomly brought this up because I was thinking about fasting this weekend. But exactly what you just said, there's so much new stuff. I always find a reason to be like, oh, I'm not going to fast. Like, there's so much good food out there that it's like, we'll do it again some other time.
Yeah. I mean, how's that turning out for you, though? Because it's like, you feel a lot mentally clearer, you feel a lot lighter, but then if you tried to run like a quarter mile, you'd feel like, ugh.
Right. And for me, it's just clearing my mind, getting like a reset. That's kind of what where the focus was. When a lot of new things started in life. So I was like, I need a moment. The school year's about to start for my kiddo. And I was like, let me little press reset here.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like hitting balance. Like, you don't want to fast for way too long, but then you also just don't want to eat like too much before you fast again because it's like, well.
Well, it's eye-opening to stop eating food. And then when you start again, because it's like, what's your first choice? And then sometimes you realize, oh, I'm eating crap. Like, what? Like, it's like, maybe start with an apple. You're like, I've been dying to get pizza. You know, it's like.
Yeah. I think before I got here, like, I had some steak and rice leftovers. And I just literally heated it up. And I feel great. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's like the cleanest I've eaten in a minute. It's like, okay, cool. And now that I'm not like eating at the moment, like, okay. Yeah, I feel like on dial.
Right. Steak and rice is good. Nice protein and, you know, got to get the veggies in though, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I learned that on some of my menus, like I'm learning that I'm not liking green beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just feel like rubber. Like even if I blanch them correctly and I cook them correctly, it just doesn't sit right with me, like in terms of like texture. Uh-huh. But then I also learned that I really like charred vegetables, like charred broccoli or charred cauliflower, and then like a sweet potato mash. I'm like, oh man, that's my jam. I could eat it all day.
Yeah. Oh, charred. I love charred everything. Just anything. Charred meat, charred broccoli, just char it all.
Yeah.
It's primal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when people ask me, like, hey, what's your specialty nowadays? I mean, obviously, I'd just be like, oh, huh. But no, I tell them that my specialty is just, like, grilling because, one, all people really do is, like, put out a grill full of charcoal. You cook something that's already, like, marinated or seasoned in it, and you only have to cook it for, like, 10 or 12 minutes. After that, you're done.
Right.
You can save it for, like, 7 days and then eat it, right? It's just so easy and accessible because, again, when we're going back to the primal way of cooking, that's just the way it goes. Like, in, out, gone.
In, out, gone. And also, I feel like it like, resonates with me. Like, it's like, it makes my taste buds. Like, it's like, this is what I want. It's like all the way back to when we first started cooking with fire, right? Which would have been all charred up and crazy, like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, I absolutely love grilling as well. But okay, so we had our segment, Where Are You Eating? Good answers. Do you have any others to throw in there? No, you had a good, that was good.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't. Those are like hidden gems away from like the generic stuff in my mind.
Yeah, no. So
I wouldn't call them generic. That's my bad. Like the well-known spots. Yeah, like, well, yeah, they're well-known for a reason.
But also well-known. Well, we welcome well-known. I mean, I've had a whole slew of answers. I mean, I've had. I mean, even if it's like just Pete Terry's, love Pete Terry's. You know what I mean? Somebody wants to go through Pete Terry's, and I get that one. But like, you know, people have mentioned Loro, which is also High Hospitality, I believe, right? The collaboration.
Yeah, so Chef Tyson and Aaron Franklin's baby.
Yeah, yeah. So cool.
Yeah, I remember the time when they're opening Loro and they were doing R&D. I was working Yak, and they'd be like, "Hey, can I grill this char siu in your Yak?" While on like a Monday or Tuesday, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm chill. Go for it. So then I get like little snackies and I'm just like, sweet. Right.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool. I mean, and what a cool person to work for, Tyson, right? He's got a crazy story.
Yeah. I feel like Chef Tyson has like this mad like professor vibe to him. Like he always has his hands clasped.
Yeah.
And he walks around the kitchen. He's still like a little kid at heart because he would talk to like this whoever the sushi chef is for the day. They would talk and I would just be working zero next to like the head sushi chef. And I'm just like, you know, I just tune in the conversation. He'd have me making my yokai berry. And then there are a few times when like the Asian pears are a little mush. I'm like, man, why? It's probably because like I marinated them in like lemon and then it started cooking it. So I'm like, oh, maybe don't do that next time, dude. Sure. So, but yeah, he's still a little good at heart. But based on his book, he's like a very smart guy. He surrounded himself with a lot of fantastic people. And I think it's a really beautiful thing to see because someone made a map of like his culinary lineage, like Uchi was in a center. And then when you see that tree grow, it featured chefs from like Lucky Robot, Juniper, Otoko, man. Yeah. So Osome, like when you really think about that, like lineage, I'm like, man, that's like a caliber of like people to be associated with because it's like, oh yeah, like you played in the pros.
Right, right. Well, and then it's like a reflection. I mean, like obviously influential towards you when you're all about networking now. I mean, that is a source of networking.
For sure. And that's why, you know, like it's super important for me to not burn bridges. Mm-hmm. It's super important to me to build really strong ones because I don't know where those opportunities would lead me. I just don't. Like 2 months before, someone from High Hospitality, they were just like, hey, some of my friends are looking for a chef. And I thought of you. Thank you for reaching out. I just remember it was like something that you did. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me give it a shot, right? So that call happened. But yeah, I just get a lot of handful of opportunities because I have strong bridges. I feel like I operate with integrity and... You know, if I make mistakes, I'm not afraid to admit them. Like, just those types of things of the fundamentals of being an okay person at the very baseline of it.
It was wonderful advice. And I'll say that, because I wish everybody operated that way. And you, I don't know if you realize this, but what you work with all these different people, right? And the reason most likely that you're welcomed back is because you have a good attitude and you want to operate with integrity and not burn bridges. And that's who people want to work with. It's like, of course, call Chef Dan on this. Like, he's always been great, but especially in this world. I mean, like, it's like this for everywhere, but I mean the culinary world in like any given city or, wow, whatever, the whole world. Yeah, don't burn bridges. Like, the word will get around as well, right? You don't want to be the person that people talk about at the next place. Like, this guy was awful to work with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of, like, Instagram reels, and I really saw this one that they're just like, okay, you're recruiting Navy SEALs. I don't know if you've seen this one. So people recruit Navy SEALs based on, I forget what the tangent is, but it's like the talent and trust axis. So you would think that you would want like the high talent, like high trust one, right? No. Because the scale is that you sometimes people hand on the high talent and low trust scale, like, hey, would you trust me with your wife and your kids? No. So if you have high talent and people don't trust you, stay away. But then if you have like low talent and like high trust, like, maybe, but in a personal chef world, like if I couldn't cook or I didn't have like an arsenal with me and I looked bad in front of the client, they wouldn't hire me back. So what the SEALs actually look for is someone with medium talent and high trust, because you can elevate like medium talent. But if you trust someone with your wife and kids and your money, great. You can turn your back around and do anything and know that they'll be you'll be in good hands.
You know, that's such an easy way to look at things. Like I will think of things more like that. Well, I trust this person with my family, left alone. Because it's such an easy way to be like, yes or no. And if it's a no, it's like, okay, well, this person gets this kind of attention from me.
I know. I'm just saying, like Navy SEALs, like these are literally people who like kill for a living.
Right, right. No, so, trained killers.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm not a killer, but I do crush it in like in sense of like, you know, service and stuff. But
right, killed it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think it's very true. I think what you're saying in not like a conceited way is you know how you operate is very true from what I've met and known of you. You've always been very, very polite, very decent to be around, and like I think that goes a long way. I really do. And like all avenues of life, really. I mean, it keeps doors open, building the bridges, you know, great metaphor. You know, it's like I've heard the metaphor is like you're gonna get a stone every day. So you can either, you know, throw your stones or you can build bridges, right? And it's like, yeah, just build the bridges. Like, that's going to be better in the end. And clearly it pays off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we only got one life. And it's not necessarily about, like, making people happy, but it's also just, like, staying true to yourself. Staying true to yourself in the form of, do people really care about your decision? Like, because when I was just like, yeah, you know, I ran a marathon, my knees were shot, and I was just like, oh, yeah, this is my quote-unquote retirement post. Like, 24 people like my post, but then I ran with Commodore the next week. So, I really retire?
Right.
No one cares.
Now I got to ask about the marathon. Did you do the Austin Marathon?
Yeah.
Okay, first marathon?
Probably the only one.
Only one? But then, so do you run with the Commodore Run Club often?
I mean... I did, but then I started getting bad knees, so I just wasn't able to do it. It just wouldn't feel right for me if I did, but I did significantly before I did my Austin Marathon. Yes.
Yeah. Marathon is a great achievement. How far do they run at the run club? Is it always the same route, or are they doing all kinds of stuff?
I believe, because I followed their page, they normally run a 3-mile route.
Okay.
Recently added like a mile, and I think they're doing a mile and a half, but I might be misspoken on that one. But yeah, it's a great run club because, one, it's industry, and two, like, they've developed all these routes so that it's all inclusive, and three, you know, they literally wait for everybody to get there and no one like gets left behind. Like, if you're a slow runner and you're running the 3-mile, they'll literally wait for you.
Yeah. What that's on what day of the week? Is it multiple days of the week?
It's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
At 9 a.m. Is that right? Or is it
10?
10?
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. I need to talk to Chef Philia again about like some of these things, because I don't know how many people show up to those things, but
a lot.
Do they really? That's so cool.
Yeah. Chef Phil has been like sponsoring a lot of these like run things as a form of community, whether it's for like back of house and like as a sober activity, because he's like super huge in sobriety.
Right.
Just based on what I'm seeing. And he's literally building all these communities. It's just like, yeah, you know, health and wellness, whether it's like physical, mental, and if you have those two things, like, I think you have a solid base for being a good person, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, we're sitting here talking about like your career and like, you know, we're talking about work-life balance, and like, there's a whole world out there where people were just being worked to death and working too much, then coming home and drinking and acting like, I mean, and to identify with, hey, I want to live my life and be happy too, is, you know, extremely important.
It's strange because I feel like work-life balance is such a privilege. I'm super thankful. Sure. I'm super thankful to have it, because I don't think my parents had that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they've worked so hard for me to like have it. And that's why I want to make the most of my chances. That's why I build the bridges that I build. I build connections with people that I know, just so that their investment in me all that time was worth it. But yeah, I think about it too, because I still come from a Filipino culture at the end of the day. I think about people in the Philippines who work significantly harder for like $2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm really putting that in perspective, like, there are people who work that hard. So when they come here, it's such a shock that they're like, oh my God, they're paying me like $250 a day.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that's a wonderful perspective to have, though. I mean, it's a harsh reality, but right, it's a tool to keep you humble, right?
Yeah, it definitely keeps me like even keeled. Like, I don't tell that to a lot of people, because people don't really need to know the ethos of my decisions unless they ask why.
Sure.
But yeah, I feel like if I just kind of kept myself like even keeled, like, okay, is this a mistake that can be fixed immediately? Yes. Is this the end of the world? No. It really just depends, but I feel like anything can be fixed with a good conversation and a resolution.
Also, you're full of good advice.
So
that's so true. The good anything can be fixed over a conversation is true.
Yeah. It's just like, hey, let me hear your thought on it. Like, normally I'm receptive to it.
Some people stay warring. And it's like, have you guys ever talked about it? It's like, address the problem, and they say, oh, I didn't even realize that that's where you're coming from. Oh, me either. And then,
yeah. The only reason, too, is that I've had someone in my life who was just like, yeah, you know, if you don't say what you mean to say, then it's just going to bubble and boil. It's just going to bubble and boil, and you're going to start a war within you. Like, you don't want that for yourself. Like, if you said your piece and people know about it, whether they like it or not, it's better that they knew.
Right, right, right. Yeah, nothing's, it's all on the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, you have very good advice here.
Thank you.
So we have one more segment here.
Sure, go for it.
It's called Potty Talk, and it's sponsored by Buc-ee's. Please tell me you've been to a Buc-ee's.
Yes, I love their fudge.
Okay, good. All right, so this is sponsored by Buc-ee's. They just don't know it. favorite restrooms here and around town, because it's so important.
Favorite restrooms around town?
Yeah. So there you go. Your brain starts thinking. I'll talk while you think, because they're so good, right? You go into some of these and you're like, oh, what is all this? And the decor is different, or wallpaper. We get a lot of wallpaper comments. My favorite is like washing my hands and then like coming out and being like, wow, what the heck kind of soap was that? Like, because your experience in a bathroom can make or break a place. Like if you get a Bucky's experience at a restaurant, you're like, hell yeah, let's go back anytime. But if you walk into a hole-in-the-wall bathroom, I mean, some people love a hole-in-the-wall bathroom. You got any? Do you think of any?
I know your answer to this one. So it's, we went to, last July, and went to my friend's wedding in Cozumel, and we got a hotel room at the Presidente. It's just probably the highest like amount of money that I've paid for a hotel room. I went to the bathroom. On my left side, it's just like this big window. A bathtub's like literally next to it. I turn on the water. It's cold. I could see the beach. It's like really blue. The sand's super white. So it's just like a nice view in general. They have like the softest robes, like really nicely folded towels. I think I used their soap and it smelled really good. So right. it's like being outside on the inside in a sense. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of sunlight. And like, if I wanted to read a book, that's just probably like what I would do.
Yeah. No, that's like, and that's like the architect, like when the bathroom, like you just described, like there was definitely an architect thinking about what you would be looking at. Precisely, like seeing the beach and like thinking, I feel like I'm outside, but I'm inside.
Yeah.
And it's cool, right? It adds to the experience. But I just think it's a, kind of like an, like, it's a segment because it's an interesting topic because, like, yeah, we go there for the food. But like, if you go to the bathroom and you're like compelled to take a picture because the bathroom's so cool, it's just like an added layer of coolness. Like, where's the one that always comes up? Barley Swine. What's the guy on the, Rainy Street with
Amarin Rye.
Like they've always got a culinary podcast on.
Really? Right. I did not notice that.
So I went in honor of that, knowing that. So I went over there and then I go to the front, the host, and I'm like, I thought there was supposed to be a podcast on. They're like, there's no podcast on? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. And they went and they turned it on.
Did they play yours?
No, that's what I was saying. I was like, hey, we have a podcast here. We were doing a podcast with the chef over there. But no, they should, right? It's like, but I think it's like Bon Appetit or something like that.
Sure.
But I just thought that was like kind of a, you know, it's like this random quirk, right? Or like when you're picking out like wallpapers, like old thousands. Have you seen their bathroom?
I rarely just notice bathrooms.
Right. Well, maybe think about it.
Yeah, it did. I know Svirtes is like very floral. Arlo Grace is very like, what do you call it? Like French Vogue, Fashion Week kind of thing, where they just have like phrases on the wall and stuff like that. Like those are the two that stand out for me as like restaurants. And then one of my friends, he's the general manager at Uchi Denver now. He always takes pictures at Nickel City, like the bathroom there. I don't know if he just likes the color scheme. I'm like, all right, cool, dude. Right. Trend, right?
Nickel City.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so Nickel City's in Denver now?
No, Nickel City is here in Austin, but he was living in Austin before he kind of did his gallivanting.
Yeah, those guys, I think they opened a Nickel City somewhere else, too. Like in a different state.
Did they?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that.
And they started growing like the Via 313 like a lot, as far as I understand. But
oh, okay. Yeah, I never knew. I just knew Nickel City was like a dive bar, and that's like the only one of its own. But
and they have like killer smash burgers, right? Is that or it's like maybe at a food truck outside or something?
I don't know. I've only eaten like fries there.
Yeah. I have heard that, and I've heard that I think it's Nickel City that has this ridiculous Instagram page,
probably
where it's just like all ridiculous memes. I don't know. It's fleeting now.
It wouldn't surprise me. Right. I feel like the owners of Nickel City are like very quirky people, but at the same time, they're also like good people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So as far as actually thinking social media and stuff, Where do people find you? I know you do have a website, eversoulculinary.com.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the best way for clients or people to reach you? Or,
yes.
Or Instagram?
Instagram would also be good. My handle is at eversoulculinary or at manila2_rice.
And that's your personal?
Yeah, that's my personal one.
Okay. Yeah, so Eversoul Culinary. Very cool. Mm-hmm. What about like Facebook, anywhere like that?
Yeah, Facebook, same deal. I have an Eversoul Culinary Facebook, and then you can just find me under Dan Castro on Facebook as well.
Chef Dan Castro, thank you for coming. Is there anything we didn't talk about that we should go over?
Nope. I think we glazed on a lot of things. I just had a really fun conversation and like sharing my insights. And, you know, I'm just really blessed that we finally got to do this and you allowed me to be here. So it's an honor and a pleasure.
You've always been welcome. And I'm very happy you're here now. And I will say this, and I absolutely mean this. Like, please come back. It would be so cool to get you in here with, you know, some people you work with. Like, I know Arturo is going to come back in, but like, even hearing you and Arturo chatted up or whoever, just or like Michael, you know what I mean? Like chef's table kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
totally open to that stuff. And when I say that, I absolutely mean it. If you listen to some episodes, I've said that and people do take me up on it. And I love when people come back in. So, hopefully, too many more, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's have more of these then.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, chef.
Thank you.